We will have a break from Isaiah. I think we've had a couple of years of him, but not tonight. Would you turn to Isaiah chapter 14? Isaiah chapter 14. Now, Isaiah 14 is a really quite remarkable passage of the Bible. It's part of a whole section of the prophet concerned with judgment upon various empires and kingdoms, including Israel herself. The beginning of chapter 14 is a hint of mercy for Israel. Then from verse 3 we get the fall of the king of Babylon. You'd expect that to happen if Babylon is going to be judged. Then from verse 12 we get an even more remarkable passage of scripture, which appears to be the fall of the devil. He seems to no longer talk about the king of Babylon, but rather to talk about the god of this world, Satan himself. So I'd like to look at verse 16 to verse 21. Now, again, it's not clear about whom the prophet is speaking. So he begins by talking about the king of Babylon. Then he talks about Lucifer. Then in verse 16, he kind of continues. And is it a continuation of the stuff about the devil? Is it a continuation about the stuff about the king of Babylon? It sounds like a human rather than a cherub. And yet clearly there is a link between the king of Babylon and perhaps all wicked kings and presidents and Satan himself. Verse 16, those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Now, Satan, of course, is not the man, and it could be argued that the king of Babylon did not make the earth tremble. Who was he speaking of? Who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners. I think the expression there means a king without mercy. There are prisoners in the prison, but they were never released. They were never given the fresh air and the light again. Here is a cruel king who made nations tremble, who made kingdoms quake. And yet people are gazing upon this individual. They continue, all the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory. Everyone in his own house, but you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden underfoot. Isaiah and the Holy Spirit through Isaiah is really giving us some wonderfully graphic imagery here. Whoever is being spoken of here is clearly coming to a sticky end to understate the point of the passage. He goes on, you will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. Well, whoever is being spoken of, God has pronounced a judgment upon him. It's going to be final. It's going to be absolute. Never again will the scary individual rise up and trouble people ever again. So could that be said of the devil? Yes. Could it be said of the kings of Babylon, who were famous and fearsome fellows in their day? Yes, it can. I suspect that the words of verse 16 to 21 actually apply to every terrifying, powerful figure, be it Hitler or Stalin or indeed certain characters who are around today. Men and women are afraid of them. But God has already written their doom. And anyone who governs in a cruel manner, who has such incredible power, God has already proclaimed against them their faith. Their days are numbered. The time will come when the earth will be rid of all these cruel dictators and tyrants. Has there ever been a time when, you know, people have not ruled cruelly over other people? I think not. Not since the fall. It has happened. Well, what has that got to do with us? Let's remember, as we point out on other occasions, we are fairly unusual in this land because we're not ill-treated, we're not persecuted. Most believers in the world are. I think the Times newspaper said it is now official. Christians are the most persecuted minority in the world. Now, we know in this country there aren't many of us, but we have protections under law. There are lots of people who, you know, sitting in barns or hideaways or in the woods or in the field, will read that passage and it will give to them a wonderful comfort and an assurance that whatever tin pot dictator is driving them out and not allowing them to meet openly, God will hold them to account. The God before whom we come tonight in prayer, the God before whom we present our petitions before his throne, has already determined that these wicked men and wicked women who rule cruelly, they won't do so forever and they won't get away with it. Because our God is outside of time, they are not. Our God is perfectly just, whereas they are not. We are on the winning side. We are on the winning team. We know the end. We've got the book of Revelation. We know what God has determined. And it's worth reminding ourselves, I think, before we pray. God has already defeated evil. God has already defeated evil. Amen.